BlakeRadio.com.
Are you ready? No, no, no. You don't understand. I want to know. Are you ready?
For the thousands in attendance and for the millions not watching around the world, none of this is on television right now.
Let's get ready to suck up!
War Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Come hell or high water, I am giving you Monday Night Raw. I am giving you a show tonight.
Featuring the likes of Sue Rocket.
Hi, Mom.
Lindsay Ward.
All of you men are simply intimidated. But most of all, men are intimidated by the fact that I have bigger balls than every man in this arena.
Interact with us live during the show and give us your takes on what your thoughts on Monday Night Raw.
I have received an email. The Raw General Manager says, and I quote,
now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Shane has got two words for you.
Chipotle Raw Parks, I've dressed up for this show wearing shorts and a winter cap. Anyway, welcome everybody to another edition of the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented by PWMania.com and MemLanePromo.com. I am Sir Rock, and joined, as always, by Lindsay Ward.
Well, you seem to be in better spirits now. And worst case scenario, I found my Milky Way bar that I bought earlier that's been missing for about 2 hours.
Very nice. Very nice. Very, very nice. So we're here to recap, of course, Monday Night Raw. This is the first time listening. This is the Raw Post Show. We do this about 45 minutes to get you all caught up on everything you possibly could have missed. And tonight...
And,
go ahead.
And damn, you missed a lot if you didn't see Raw.
Yeah. Monday Night Raw opened with the video package they put out on the interwebs earlier this weekend of Paul Bearer. If you're just finding out for the very first time, Paul Bearer passed away last Tuesday evening. So WWE did a very classy move, put together an awesome video package for Paul Bearer.
Oh, it was. It was. They've had it out for a few days now, and they aired it on Raw, and whether you saw it on YouTube or you saw it tonight on the show, it was very well done. It summed him up absolutely beautifully and really just gave you the best of Paul Bearer. Not that you know, a 2 or 1 minute video package could ever give you the full best of Paul Bearer, but it was a beautiful package. It was well done. It was great to have Vince on there, to have Miz, to have all the superstars on there talking about him. Dolph Ziggler imitating the voice was hilarious.
It was.
Mean Gene trying to do the voice was hilarious.
And it was it was very fitting with Taker at the end as well.
It was. It really was. And poor Taker. Oh my God, that poor man. I want to give him a hug.
Speaking of poor Taker, after the video package, we come back into the arena. The gongs and the blue fog immerse as out walks the dead man. He slowly walks through the ring, minus, you know, super shorter jacket.
He opted for the more low-key Druid robe rather than Super Shredder.
Yes, he did. Which was good, because, you know, Lindsay hates Super Shredder.
I do. I can't stand Super Shredder. He can't put his arms down in Super Shredder.
So Undertaker walks to the ring slowly, as he does. And as he gets in the ring, what's inside there, Lindsay?
An urn.
Yes. The vintage Paul Bearer urn is in the middle of the ring. Undertaker kneels down in front of it. With the Rest in Peace Paul Bearer image on the screen. And if there's some pictures out there, and there are, holy crap, they timed that picture perfect.
They did. They really did. If you haven't seen it, Taker's kneeling in front of the urn with the memoriam up on the screen, and it's an amazing picture.
Yeah. And you could just tell on the face of Undertaker, this hit him hard.
Oh, the poor man looked like he was going to cry halfway through it.
Go ahead.
I mean, if you missed it, the entire story is told in that man's eyes mm-hmm. and in his face. And you can just see it. He was just struggling to hold it together. And it's like, oh, you poor son of a bitch. I am so sorry for you.
So Undertaker's paying tribute to Paul Bearer. And then, of course, we get interrupted by CM Punk.
Like you do.
Just like you do. Punk came out and said, the crowd's misunderstanding him for coming out here. He's out there to offer his apology to The Undertaker. You know, for his loss at WrestleMania. Taker... They said this is a tragedy of this, is that Taker will always be perfect in Paul Bearer's eyes at 20-0, but in 4 weeks, he will be 20-1. Punk says that night after WrestleMania, they won't be paying tribute to Paul Bearer, but they will be paying tribute to him. He said in 50 years, everyone's grandchildren will be asking, where were they when The Undertaker lost at WrestleMania? The heat Punk got and the looks on Taker's face were tremendous in this segment.
Oh, they were. It was. When Punk walked out, if anybody caught it, and the only way I caught it is because, for those of you who don't know, Raw is on a 3-hour delay for me, so I have to watch it through other means when it's actually on. So as it's going off air for everybody else, it's coming on the air for me. So I got to see the tribute a second time on my TV on the big screen. And Taker mumbles a very, very dirty word when Punk comes out as he gets up.
Yeah, rhymes with suck. So there you go. So yeah, awesome opening segment. And I know this has been met with mixed reaction. Very mixed reaction. Some people are like, why? Why would Punk do this? What an asshole he is. And others are, okay, cool. That works. That was perfect. Where do you stand?
As far as the feud goes, I'm one of the ones that said it was perfect. It was, we all were figuring this was going to get used in some capacity. And It wasn't too much. It wasn't short. It was just enough to where it was not disrespectful to Bearer. It didn't humiliate him. It was very dignified. Punk did a nice job with it, and they handled it well. And later in the night, they did the same thing. And it was, if you really think about it, this is the perfect means to get to The Undertaker. It's just, how else can you hit him harder than he's just lost his best friend and Punk's going to go after him?
Mm-hmm.
And instead of it being about respect, you have Taker defending Paul Bearer's honor. And really the family honor.
Exactly. During the break, on your WWE app, if you have it, Kane's pyro hit. Punk was on the stage still. And, well, Kane had him at and went after CM Punk. Almost chokeslammed him off the stage, but Punk was able to escape before he could do that. And then we had Kane rampaging backstage looking for Punk. He threw someone around. I didn't catch who it was. I think it might have been Alex Riley, I think.
May have been.
And then Bo Dallas was there asking for help for Alex Riley as Kane just went on a rampage looking for CM Punk.
Which was, again, the perfect reaction for Kane, where he's just lost his father, he's an emotional wreck, he's going off, he didn't do anything with Brian tonight, it was just you had Kane have that angry emotional release of losing his father, which was just perfect, and he took it out on Punk. Whereas Punk has disrespected his father again tonight. Tonight really was, the story of tonight was defending the family honor.
Right. Right, and I will get into this more at the end of the show after we go through it all, but yeah, I have a comment to make about it. We'll get to that. Up next is our first contest of the evening. Big Show takes on Seth Rollins with Roman Reigns and... How was your cue?
Oh, Dean!
Jeez, she doesn't even know her cues anymore. Shh.
I took a bite of my candy bar. I'm eating!
So professional.
Oh, whatever.
So we have Big Show versus Seth Rollins with Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns. This really wasn't much of a match. It turned into a 3-on-1 beatdown of Big Show where they were able to hit the triple powerbomb once again on Big Show, screaming, "This is justice," as it happened. Very nice.
Which is impressive as hell.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt, it's impressive. It's very impressive. Even though they showed the replay of it earlier, or like right before the match, seeing it again live, still damn impressive.
Yeah, it's... Even though you could tell Show was just, you know, holding on and struggling really to hold on to Reigns, it's like, oh God, oh God, oh God, don't drop me, don't drop me. It was still impressive that Reigns got him up on his shoulders and all three of them did it.
For a guy Big Show size, he takes a lot of bumps.
He does.
And impressive bumps, too. So you gotta give Big Show some credit there. So yes, nice little segment here to further this storyline that's been brewing with the Shield and Big Show. I like they're still keeping the Shield strong. I was worried when they set this matchup up. I figured, oh no, Seth Rollins is going to get killed. And I was happily surprised that he didn't get killed.
No, this was the right way to do it.
Backstage in the general manager's office, CM Punk interrupted Vicky Guerrero and Brad Maddox. It's a little powwow. Punk said he has nothing to do with Kane, so they need to, you know, put a stop to it. Vicky said, whether Punk intended to or not, he disrespected the memory of Paul Bearer. Vicky says he needs to ask Kane for mercy because Punk tonight is in a no-DQ match against Kane. Punk was upset and just said, no, I'm not, and then stormed off.
That was great. That was really great.
Nice little segment. Nice little segment right there.
I'm with Kane Gittins, by the way. Bricky needs to die a quick and painful death. It needs to die a Bernie fiery death.
Oh, we'll get to Bricky in a bit. I did see that. Daniel Bryan was introduced to the ring as we have the recap of what happened between AJ, or what happened to AJ last week, and then the interaction she had with Daniel Bryan, which was tremendous. If you did not see SmackDown, they still got the chemistry. Just saying.
That was a great burn.
It was a great burn. This is where we get our first Remember Paul Bearer clip, where they show a clip from February 1991 to show how Paul Bearer was introduced by Brother Love to manage The Undertaker.
Yeah, and it's like, when we realized that they were going to do it the whole night, it's like, oh, that's just tremendous that they're going to have Paul Bearer clips the whole night, and they pick some really, really, really great clips. Because
yes.
You actually got to see the evolution of Paul Bearer throughout the night.
You were able to do that. Our next contest is Daniel Bryan versus Dolph Ziggler. Matchup took a little bit to get started. They took a break, came back, and then they were off to the races. The second half of this match was tremendous. Very nice teases back and forth, which saw Dolph Ziggler eventually counter the no-lock to score the victory with the zigzag. Very nice win for Dolph Ziggler, and much needed win for Dolph Ziggler.
Definitely.
I believe I told you Friday, after watching SmackDown, I think we're headed to Ziggler and Big E versus the Anger Buddies at WrestleMania.
I think we are too. And it's... I don't know. The only thing is I'm not entirely sure how they're going to go forward with Bryan and Kane from here, just with what happened tonight. I don't know if it's just going to be Kane had to take care of business, and so Bryan was on his own, or what is going to have happen.
I think tonight was standalone. I think this does not play into the future of Kane.
Okay. But it would be a good way to, you know, have Kane's anger...
Oh, it was.
Slowly spiral out of control again, and then there's nothing they can do to stop it.
This is true. After the match, Big E got the look from AJ, and he did a little bit more damage to Daniel Bryan. He even dropped the straps in his move to lay out Daniel Bryan.
No, he's dropped the straps to contain his ass in those trunks. Because if he lifted Bryan up with the straps up, I'm pretty sure his butt would come flying out. He needs bigger tights in the back because the boy's got some junk in his trunk. Just saying.
Okay. Back in the ring, we have Brodus Clay and Sweet Tea. You know, Lord Tensai, who's sort of more looking like Albert as the days go by.
He's the Japanese import version of Albert.
Because he now has pants to go along with the top. So he's getting, you know, covered up. But his opponent was announced, it was Fandango. And they still couldn't
get over. Is Fandango ever going to do anything?
No. Joshua, as Fandango was saying, told him not to. He wanted to hear, you know, Tensai say his name. He didn't say it right. And he wanted Naomi to say it. So Tensai wouldn't let that happen. And all you heard was Jerry Lawler screaming, "Damn it, Tensai!"
Yeah.
The only one really excited about Fandango is Jerry Lawler.
Well, yeah, because he's got girls with him.
Yes. I found it ironic that they went to a Fandango. Not really a Fandango, but Michael Cole was buying tickets, which, you know, if you use Fandango, you buy tickets online. It's very fitting, at least to me. Then we have another remembrance of Paul Bearer, WrestleMania 20. The return of The Undertaker.
It was a fantastic night.
The return of Paul Bearer, who brought back the old school Undertaker.
That was a great, great, great moment.
And then we have Damian Sandow and Cody Rhodes in the ring.
Holy crap, this was segment of the night. One of them. This was please tell me you have audio of this. Yes!
The following interpretation is brought to you by Taste and Good Form. Cody! Da-na-na-na. Oh, you were not aware of this? Da-na-na-na. Your posterior better contact someone at once! Play home.
Ladies and gentlemen, young people of all gender and ages, Taste and Decency proudly presents to you the reunited future tag team champions and best friends, the essence of mustachio magnificence, the intellectual savior of the masses, Team Rhodes Scholars!
And if you're not down with that, we have two words for you. You're welcome!
Oh, brother.
Wow. That was absolutely fantastic. I don't know who came up with it, but I tip my hat to you.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, that was tremendous. The following interpretation presented by Taste and Good Form. Oh my god.
You were not aware? I was just like, when he started the shtick, I was like, oh my holy god, this is gonna be awesome.
Yeah, that was tremendous.
Oh, this is nothing. You did not hear the squee that came out of me when they started this bit. I giggled like the little fangirl that I am.
I'm with you. I'm right there with you. Hashtag fangirl. This is Lindsay. Buy the shirt. RockRadioShow.com. Then we had the New Age Outlaws come to the ring. Road Dogg chimed in. Very clever, ladies. And then, which was very classy of Road Dogg, he added this little twist to his line. Lord have mercy, this is for you, Percy.
Very nice.
So it was very, very fitting right there by the Outlaws. So we have the Outlaws taking on Road Scholars. The match starts to get going, then, well...
Oh my God! Oh my! He's here! The Beast is here!
Oh my God, Brock Lesnar! Brock Lesnar's here! Brock Lesnar's here! Oh my God! Brock Lesnar's here! And my cable goes out.
Yeah, right in the middle of this.
Fuck you, Comcast.
Yeah, it was... I'm sitting here watching Raw, and I'm going F you Brock Lesnar, because he came out right in the middle of the Road Scholars match, and I was so looking forward to this all week. Like, you guys have no idea. It's like, Road Scholars are taking on the New Age Outlaws on Monday Night Raw. This is going to be amazing. And then Brock Lesnar comes out. And I'm like, F you, dude. F you so hard. And I'll just let Rock seethe for a minute.
Let me get this straight. Triple H wants Brock to know that the game is on. Well, Brock Lesnar doesn't play games. Brock Lesnar hurts people. Take, for example, the heartbreak kid Shawn Michaels, Triple H's best friend. Brock Lesnar broke his arm. Take, for example, Vincent Kennedy McMahon, not just the chairman of the board of this multi-billion dollar corporation, but Triple H's father-in-law. Brock Lesnar broke him in half. Broke Vince McMahon in half to where Stephanie McMahon, Triple H's wife, the mother of Triple H's children, had to watch as her own father got lifted with a broken body and placed into an ambulance with tears running down Stephanie's face. Tell me, Triple H, what must that do to a man? And now... Now the New Age Outlaws, the last traces of D-Generation X, laid to waste, F5'd into oblivion. Okay, what am I babbling about? I know everybody wants to hear the answer. The question is, will Brock Lesnar fight Triple H at WrestleMania? And the answer is yes! But, and ladies and gentlemen, there is a but attached to this. Brock Lesnar will fight Triple H at WrestleMania only if we get to name the stipulations. And Brock Lesnar won't tell you those stipulations until after Triple H signs the contract. So now you see the dilemma we've put Triple H in. Triple H, you either blindly accept Brock Lesnar's challenge, or check this out, hero, cerebral assassin, avenger, you disappoint the WWE Universe. You disappoint your wife. You disappoint your children. You disappoint your father-in-law. And most of all, you disappoint yourself. And if you ain't down with that, I got two words for you. Brock Lesnar!
Well, that right there.
Now that I've actually got to see this segment, thank you very much, WWE YouTube. Fantastic.
Oh God, Paul Heyman is just a fantastic sleazeball. He really is. And he sold this absolutely hook, line, and sinker. My only caveat is they're probably going to do the contract signing in the next couple weeks, obviously. Please don't call for Hell in a Cell. Please don't do it. Call for something else other than Hell in a Cell.
Because we don't want him to, you know, be correct. And we don't want to see it again.
It's not even we don't want Tim to be correct. They're going to have to live up to that one last year.
Yeah,
and that's my only thing, is they just did one at Mania last year.
Yes, I'm with you. That was my argument to Tim when he mentioned it a few weeks ago.
I mean, no DQ, last man standing. Actually, last man standing between those two would be pretty good. But, yeah, don't do Hell in a Cell. Please don't.
Or, you know what they could do, Lindsay?
Hmm.
They could do the hashtag rack exclusive storyline where, you know, Paul Heyman gets control.
They could.
Hashtag rack exclusive. Anyway, fantastic segment. Good use of the Road Dogg and Billy Gunn. Good use of everything in that segment. Want to see Road Scholars versus New Age Outlaws? Pre-show WrestleMania?
Maybe.
We have Kofi Kingston in the ring. And out came Mark Henry.
Kofi got his ass whooped. Move on.
Sounds like a theme of the song. Backstage, we have Cody Rhodes and Caitlyn. They had another run-in around the water cooler. Cody said he's glad he ran into Caitlyn. He tried to talk to her, but Damian Sandow interrupted and stole Caitlyn's water bottle, apparently. Sandow said that after Lesnar interrupted their match, he made arrangements for double the Divas to enhance the Divas division. And it was the return of the Bella Twins.
Ugh.
Well, Daniel Bryan and John Cena are very happy right now.
Well, at least Daniel Bryan is. We don't know if Cena's still with the other one.
This is true. The Bellas insulted Caitlyn. Sandow eased up a little bit to the Bellas as Cody acted toward and whether to prove that Caitlyn or support Sandow. It's a little dissension there. Victory walked in and booked Sandow and Rhodes in another match against Randy Orton and the Sheamus later on tonight. Now we get the Ryback versus Heath Slater. Heath Slater got destroyed. McIntyre got destroyed. Henry
poor Drew.
Apparently what happened, McIntyre was destroyed by Ryback, then by Henry, then by Ryback, then by Henry, then by Ryback, Henry, back and forth, back and forth. Another stare down between the two.
How did Ginger get out of it? That's what I want to know.
He hit on the ring? I don't know. I honestly did not see this.
I saw it, and I'm still trying to figure out how Ginder got out of it.
This was the out of everything. I missed the Bella's return in this match. Everything else I pretty much saw. Either now or, you know, as it happened. While yelling at Comcast. Fuck you. It was announced that we're going to get Ryback versus Mark Henry on SmackDown. My gut tells me that doesn't end in a clean finish. Just saying.
Probably not.
We got reminded there's a no DQ match between Punk and Kane later tonight. We then have Antonio Cesaro taking on Alberto Del Rio.
Eh?
Solid match. Del Rio wins by submission. We go backstage. Kane is backstage with Josh Matthews, who trying to get some comments about the troubling time for him, and Kane just standing there looking at his hands, and then had the urn in there.
He was cradling the urn next to his chest. It was so sweet. It's like, oh, you poor thing. This was the second Lindsay wants to hug the other brother now.
Kane had a sad, Lindsay wanted to hug.
It was so, it's just, that's pretty much what we were kind of expecting from Kane, was they do, again, it's something really simple, something effective, the guy's just lost his quote-unquote father, and, you know, you've had that burst of anger, and now he's calm, and he's just, you know, it's like the urn has calmed him, he's standing there, and he's cradling it.
Mm-hmm. Very, very fitting. We had then a preview of John Cena versus The Rock, who neither one were on the show tonight. Just pointing that out. Then we had the remembrance of Paul Bearer from 1997, the debut of Kane.
Oh, that was a fantastic feud. Like I said, they picked some really, really, really good moments for him.
Then we got some touts at some point. Then we have Randy Orton and Sheamus versus Rhodes Scholars. Fine matchup.
Very fine matchup, until somebody got involved.
Yes, Sheamus and Orton win, and then during the break, the Shield attacked.
And I have to say this, Rollins is a crazy mofo.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, after the match, he jumped off the stage and nailed Orton with a knee. Holy crap.
Yeah, he's not right in his head, and for that, I love him for it.
Then we come back to Raw, we have the talents, and now it's the return of the highlight reel with Chris Jericho. If you didn't catch Wrestle Talk Radio last night, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, we interviewed Chris Jericho. So check it out in the archives right here at wildtalkradio.com right after this show.
We did. It was awesome.
Yes. So Jericho, minus his set, was in the ring for the highlight reel. I think the Jerotron was in there for a minute. He threw to a clip of the surprise hit movie, The Marine 3, starring former guest on The Rock, The Miz. You can go to RockRadioShow.com or right here, WildTalkRadio.com, and listen to the interview we did a few weeks ago with The Miz. So they played the video. Miz came to the ring. He noted that it's great to be a guest. It's great being a guest rather than a host, before noting that Jericho had no furniture. Apparently, there were some budget issues with the show right now, so...
That was a great line.
It was. Jericho then claimed Miz has a real hit on his hands, but blowing away the studio's movie production, Dwayne Barrett interrupted and knocked Miz before claiming that the success of Dead Man Down, because it opened in the top 5 last weekend. Then they rolled some footage. Miz responded by mocking Barrett's accent. He said they've been hearing the same garbage for the past 3 weeks. Barrett replied by saying Miz just proved his lack of acting range by trying to imitate his voice. Barrett continued that he's turned down multiple movie roles because he's too busy being the Intercontinental Champion and just simply being Wade Barrett.
Wade, honey, I love you. I really, 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 really do love you, but, when your movie opens at number 4 and it only makes $5.3 million, that's not good. Especially when the number 1 movie in the country made close to $80 million. Just pointing that out. And yeah, by the way, I don't even think you talked in the movie.
But as he said on commentary, he had some long monologues in it. Yeah. Anyway, we had a really routine between Jericho and Miz. Barrett vowed to drop Jericho for interrupting, so Jericho got serious and removed his light-up jacket. He earlier in the promo he mentioned, is it working? Is it working? Jericho told Junior that he helped bring Barrett into this company. He's done a great job since then. So, you know, as the internet meme goes, Jericho invented Wade Barrett. But he's the 9-time champion.
That's a meme.
More than any performer in history of this company, Jericho then said, you know, maybe he should become a 10-time champion. And this brought out, you know, Mr. Brad Maddox.
Who gave that man a mic?
He said he has a very exciting announcement from Bricky, and if you don't know who Bricky is, that's Vicky and him. He just started rambling, and Cole and Lawler talked over him and said, we're going to a commercial. And basically, it sets up Miz and Jericho, with the winner facing Wade Barrett next week on Raw. So yes, we come back, it's Miz versus Jericho.
Wait, I want to rant on this a little bit.
Okay.
You're just hitting the accelerator here. You know what's bad when the announcers are talking over the guy, and they're saying, we're kicking it to commercial. Now, we are going to commercial. Damn it, go to commercial. You know it's bad.
Yeah.
Because you could almost hear Vince screaming into their headsets, do something, shut him up, drown him out, go to commercial, anything. Because he's basically just gone out there and screwed everything up.
This is very true. I don't think he screwed anything up. I think this was intentional. Just saying.
What, to bury him?
Mm-hmm.
We already don't like him. You could take him off TV, and we wouldn't miss him. Just have the Shield beat him up again. It'll be fine.
But it's Bricky. Anyway.
Yeah, Bricky, yeah, could care less.
Anyway, Jericho, Miz, winner gets a shot at the IC title. Solid matchup until, well, they had Jericho throw Miz and the Barrett. All hell broke loose from there. They started beating up. Barrett started attacking. Then they all attacked Barrett. Both hit their finishers on Barrett, leaving this matchup at a no contest.
Which is the right way you want to do it, because then you can take it into next week and week after and finish it out.
At WrestleMania. I think we might get Jericho and either a three-way next week or a three-way at Mania or something with these three, I think. As we get closer to WrestleMania.
Possibly, but it depends on what Jericho's doing at Mania.
Yes.
If he's going to be in the Shield match or not.
I don't think he's going to be in the Shield match because, you know, I think it's going to be the sixth man between Show, Orton, and Sheamus versus the Shield. Oh, apparently next week is a three-way. Okay, how about that?
Sweet!
There you go. Thank you, Tommy, in the chat room. If you haven't come into our chat room, it's wildtalkradio.com. Just click the chat button at the top page. Let's figure out... Let's see. Oh, yeah, I was going to plug something. WrestleMania Riffs, now available. Go check them out, wildtalkradio.com/WrestleMania. Day one is up. 28 Riffs, 28 days. We're getting there. First one's up, WrestleMania 1. Anyway, back to the program. Remembering Paul Bearer. 1995. Paul Bearer in the dress.
I giggled so hard. I was just sitting here giggling because, oh my god, it's the Paul Bearer in drag clip. That was the first clip I watched after we got the news, because I went on YouTube. And it popped up. It had to be Fate or something, and I'm sitting there watching it. And it's Paul Bearer sitting there in a dress and a wig because he's been in witness protection next to Mr. Fuji.
Tremendous.
And then the lights go out, and Fuji's in the dress. And he freaks out. It's amazing.
It was great. We come back from break. Sin Cara is in the ring. They plug how you can get a WWE WrestleMania 19 chair from Kmart for $80. If you spend $30 of WWE merchandise at Kmart. So, well, they want you to spend $110 to sit in a chair in your house.
The only time I'm doing that is if I'm going to a show.
Yeah, you just... But if you're buying the WrestleMania chair, then you still have to buy WrestleMania for $60. So, like, it's $160 just to, you know.
Don't forget, these are the same people that are offering the VIP package for, like, $600-$700.
But
to go to a show.
But at least you get to go to the show?
I don't care.
Anyway, Coulter talks. Called him a Mexican jumping bean. He rambled. Yeah, he rambled. Jack Swagger won.
Wait, did we talk about the promo that Del Rio did? Or that Ricardo did?
I forgot about that, yes. Go ahead, talk about it.
For those of you that missed it, we had another video from Zeb Coulter.
It was the same one from SmackDown.
It was still awesome, shut up.
Just clearing up, clarifying. Same one from SmackDown.
It was a replay from SmackDown, but it was Zeb Coulter, because some of us didn't see it Friday.
Okay.
Because, you know, some of us work. But anyway, it was Zeb Coulter, aka Ricardo.
You worked at midnight. Shush.
Shut up. Shush! And Alberto Del Rio dressed as Jack Swagger.
Yeah.
Go find this on YouTube. It is hilarity.
It is on the WWE Fan Nation YouTube channel, so go check that out after the show.
Although, Ricardo kept rubbing his belly like he was pregnant.
Yes, yes. Maybe he is. Maybe he is. Which would be weird. But, yeah.
Whose baby is he pregnant with? Ello Cal's?
Yes. Or maybe he just ate too much bad Mexican food. Who knows? Anyway, Swagger won.
Yay!
And then... Oh, Lord. I don't know how to describe this. So I'm not. Not at all.
You have audio?
I have audio. It's a preview of the call.
There's no location. It's a disposable. No chip.
Please help me!
I don't know what to do. What attracted me to this movie was it's such a great role for a woman. You know, she is this ordinary woman who actually has the ability to do the extraordinary. And as an actress, I don't really come across roles like that very... Oh, God. Excuse me. One second. Do you mind? Hello?
Hallie. David Otunga here. How are you?
Hey, David. Didn't I tell you I was doing press for the call today? So, like, why are you calling me?
Oh, that's right. Look, I'm really sorry to bother you, but... There's something I got to tell you. You remember on set, you told me to keep your cell phone number private? Well, I may have shared it with someone who threatened me with physical harm. You know what? Don't even worry about it. It's not a big deal. Anyway, talk to you later, HB.
David! Hello?
Is this Halle Berry?
Yes.
I know where you live.
Who is this?
I just have one question for you, Hallie. Why don't you ever return my fan mail? I feel like we've made a connection. I mean, I even included a picture.
Wait a minute. Are you that crazy guy in the red mask who keeps writing me every single day?
Maybe.
You wrote that your home address is the depths of hell. What do you expect me to do with that?
Well, you know how kids write to Santa Claus at the North Pole? This is the opposite.
Oh, God. I'm gonna kill Otunga.
Does this mean we're not going on that picnic?
Sorry about that. I'm not gonna answer my phone again.
Kane face.
I tip my hat to whoever wrote that segment. That was amazing. And it's apparently on YouTube, and I have to steal it later.
That's where I played it from. I played it from the WWE YouTube.
I'm WWE. I'm stealing your video, just so you know.
It was tremendous. Tremendous. Kane was perfect. He played a stalker.
Kane stalking a woman? What? Never happens.
Never will ever happen. Never. Never ever happen. But this was a nice little segue as we get to our main event of the evening. CM Punk versus Kane in a no disqualification contest. Kane came down to the ring with urn in hand, placed it on a little table. They talked about how it symbolizes the power and strength. The power and strength of The Undertaker, and at times, Kane. Hate you, Lindsay.
Sorry.
You're good. The match gets started, and then we get to our last commercial break. What? 11:05? What? So we're going into now overtime, as it's been called tonight. As they continue to beat the crap out of each other. Really good match, don't you think?
This was a great match. This, you know, we were all saying it. It's like, okay, they're going to start it late. They're going to go into the overrun. It's probably only going to go 5-10 minutes in, and that's going to be it. We all honestly expected what we were expecting, I should say. My mind just kind of sort of stopped. Anyway, was that basically Kane would lure Punk out there, Taker would come out, Taker would tombstone him, and then that would be it. And we got a full match out of him, which was great.
We got about a 12-minute match between the two. Kane was able to finish him off for the victory. Good stuff there. Then we also heard the fake gong, which distracted Punk, and that's how Kane hit the chokeslam for the victory. Lawler then said that was sweet, like Sweet Home Alabama, paying tribute to Paul Bearer. The gong and music continued to play. Undertaker slowly walked out. The homage picture of Paul Bearer was on the screen, and they both posed at one another in fitting tribute of Paul Bearer to close out the show. Wait. CM Punk has the urn. By God! He laid him out with the urn. What in the world is Punk thinking? He laid out Kane with the urn. And then Taker makes his way to the ring slowly. Punk grabs the urn and runs out of the ring. What is Punk thinking? Michael Cole was screaming. Is he nuts? So you have Kane laid out, Taker looking, staring down Punk. Punk then does the Undertaker pose with the urn in hand. And then Taker did the throat slash. And that's how we ended Raw, with the two men staring down one another.
Which is a perfect way to end the show. It was a fitting tribute. It was just enough. And now you have CM Punk with Undertaker. Undertaker's urn, or the family urn, I should say, at this stage, but really Taker's urn moving forward to the feud. Didn't really do anything to sell me on the Mania match, but it was a great night.
It was a great night. The way I figured this out, basically out, is this was the best way to honor Paul Bearer. A lot of people will be like, how dare they do this? This was disrespectful. No, this was, if you really think hard about it, it was the perfect way. They made this show all about Paul Bearer and his memory and what he meant to both Kane and Undertaker.
And if you really look at the Taker-CM Punk feud, it was really lacking that heat to it, where it's, you know, okay, well, Punk basically becomes the number one contender for the Undertaker streak last week. And there's no real way driving forward. Well, you know, with Paul Bearer's untimely death, unfortunately, they now have a reason to sort of drive it forward, because it's no longer about really Punk being respected or disrespected. It's about the family. It's about defending, you know, Paul Bearer's honor and the Undertaker standing up for his friend and, you know, beating the respect into Punk for the family, for Paul Bearer, for everything. So it's a nice tie-in, and it is very, very, very fitting. And the rumor is that Paul Bearer's sons were there tonight.
Mm-hmm.
His real life sons. And so I'm sure they would not have done any of this if they hadn't said it was okay. Just like I'm sure none of this would have gone forward unless Taker said it was okay and Kane said it was okay to do.
All right, and they paid a nice tribute to them, and I was impressed. I was very impressed by the tribute they did to Paul Bearer tonight.
It wasn't too much. It wasn't too little. It was, the whole night was just right. And it was really classily done. Or it was a class act, I should say. God, I can't talk. By the WWE. It showed how much he meant to the company.
Yes.
Which was exactly how it needed to be shown.
So this ends 3 hours of WWE Monday Night Raw. We got some storyline movement. We're heading into WrestleMania. Things are kicking in the gear a little bit. We have, what, 3 more weeks before WrestleMania? 3 more Raws?
I believe so.
3 more Raws before WrestleMania. Things are going to get really interesting as we continue down the road to WrestleMania. And next week, maybe Undertaker will speak.
I don't know. Aside from the really, really, really weird growl he made at the end of the show, he makes some fucking noises. We're going to leave it at that. I liked the fact that he didn't speak. Taker's one of those that, like I said at the beginning of the show, you could see everything in his face, everything in his eyes. The whole story was told, and it was done again tonight where he has that amazing ability to communicate his emotions just through a glare or a look or whatever.
Yes, this is very true.
And I think them talking at least tonight would have been too much.
Yes, tonight would have been too much. Next week, I think we're going to finally hear from him.
Probably, and it's going to probably be something to the effect of Punk give back the urn.
Mm-hmm. I like where they're going. It's progressing. Everything's progressing. I like the Paul Heyman stuff and the Paul Heyman Brock stuff. That's progressing. We're going to get some progression next week, and things will continue to build as we are on the road to WrestleMania. But that's the Raw post-show, unless you have any comments you want to make before we go.
Well done, WWE. Looking forward to next week.
Tomorrow night, Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik. He has on the show the artist formerly known as Tugboat or Shockmaster, the Almighty Sheik, and the Black Pope, D'Angelo De Niro, all on the show tomorrow night, Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern. Wednesday night, just another goddamn wrestling show, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, with Scott Barry and Chief Wood panel. Thursday night, Lindsay, The Rack.
Tune in for our recap of Lockdown. We're going to be giving our highs and lows. We're going to be talking all about Impact and a bunch of other stuff in the news. So tune in and listen.
Go to RockRadioShow.com to hear all the interviews we do. And coming up at the end of the month, a WWE Hall of Famer.
Yes, coming soon, but not this week.
Not this week, at the end of the month, WWE Hall of Famer on the show. This is how we roll. Or should I say rock and roll? Friday night, Mace would probably be playing video games around 8 p.m. Eastern. Saturday night, midnight, it's CB Radio with myself, Rob Parks, and Subway the Weird. The Wacky, the Unusual. You never know what we're going to talk about. Probably Rob will gloat about, you know, his almost perfect record in TNA Pick'em. Talk about St. Patrick's Day. And anything else we can talk of. WrestleTalk Radio returns Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern with Tim Stein Omega and Mace to cover the week in pro wrestling. We'll be back next Monday night for another Raw post show. Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Join the group at facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. Lindsay.
You can follow me on Twitter at Lins Ward, L-I-N-S-W-A-R-D. You can go to my website, segwarddesigns.com, and of course go to CassidyRiley.net check out the site and buy his merchandise, he would greatly appreciate it. And visit all the other fine programming on this network and our sponsors.
PWMania.com, MemLanePromo.com, check out, as I say, RecRadioShow.com, go to CanadianAllPro.com, buy tickets, buy shirts for the March 30th March Mayhem event featuring a six-man tag team battle. Captain and teams are Hotshot Johnny Devine, the Commonwealth Champion, and Kamikaze. So, for everybody here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, for Lindsay Ward, I am Sorokin. We'll see you next week right here along the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network on WildTalkRadio.com.